Chapter 16. Not that the brothers don't wash their hair. Mine is pretty simple, and as I look around the room, many of the brothers washing the hair is pretty simple. It's like washing your face, just go a little higher. That's all it takes. It's no difference. Matthew chapter 16, I'm going to read just one verse. Jesus is speaking in verse 24. And he gives this passage, which is very familiar, I think, to most of us. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. 3 points, 3 paths of action. They are progressive. Number one, deny himself, herself. Number two, take up the cross. And then number three, only after having begun the first two are you ready to even start the third one, then follow him. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning for all that you've done here, Lord, as we've worked through technology problems all morning long. We thank you that you've given us grace and patience, Lord, that we're able to work together, Lord, even in somewhat trying circumstances, that your gospel might still go forth, Lord, to as far as we can cast it. Now, Father, we'd ask you that you'd bless today those that give in support of this ministry, that you would meet the need of the ministry, everything that, Lord, you know that we're dealing with. We ask you, Father, that you would make a way for your people. And Lord, I ask you now that you would bless me to proclaim this message this morning, to make a clear, a certain sound. And Lord, let it fall deep into the hearts of your people. Lord, that it might reduce the years of trial and error that we might have to go through if we did not hear this in a nutshell statement. Father, I ask you to anoint the ears of your people to hear. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. Amen and amen. How many feel that you have at least a modicum of understanding of the message of the cross? What the cross means. Paul laid it out very well in the book of Romans, what the death, the burial, the resurrection, even the ascension of Jesus Christ, what it means to the modern Christians. But he painted fairly broad strokes as he had a lot of distance to cover. But today, I want to talk not only about the cross in nutshell statements, but I want to dig down into what does it mean for the Christian to bear their cross. It's easy to make that statement, to memorize that short statement, I must bear my cross. It's easy to make that statement, but to begin to understand what it means. When a person died in Roman crucifixion, it was a gruesome affair. Nobody, not one man said, oh man, I'm so excited today, I'm going to be crucified. It's going to be wonderful. And when you and I are called to bear our cross spiritually, it is not wonderful. It is a toil. It is a gruesome affair in spiritual terms. And so Paul, being perhaps the best example of Christianity that Christ has ever produced, he made some statements in Galatians that I want to look at. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Again, it's a very familiar passage of Scripture. No doubt many of us could just quote it. But to begin to understand what it means, Paul says in verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Isn't that a poetic verse of Scripture? It just rolls off the tongue. You can put a rhythm with it, and you can just enjoy quoting that Scripture. But it's more to it than just professing the Scripture. The death of the cross takes a real impact on the maturing Christian's life. There is a real price that we pay in walking after Jesus, following after him. First of all, you'll notice here, Paul says, I am crucified. He did not say, I was crucified on the Damascus Road. He did not say, one day I will be crucified. But he said, I am, present tense, crucified with Christ. It means it's a present tense that has an ongoing impact in your life. That as you take up the cross, as you deny yourself and you begin this effort of self-crucifixion, that it's an everyday thing. It's an everyday thing. It's an every hour thing. Paul in another scripture, I believe it was Paul, perhaps it was Jesus. No, it was Jesus. He said to take up your cross daily, every day. There are 4 points that I want to make today concerning the Christian who is taking up their cross. And understand, this is what the Holy Spirit is doing in every single Christian's life. If you are born again, the Holy Spirit is trying to do this in your life. Now, we don't often cooperate, or we cooperate less than we should. How many know we can be faithfully unfaithful? But if you're going to mature in Christ, this is a requirement. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, that means you cannot follow Jesus if you don't bear this cross. So the 4 points are this. Number one is voluntary. Nobody can make you do it. It's between you and your God. It's a very personal thing. I can't look at you and say, you're not bearing your cross enough. You know why? I got my own cross that I have to bear. And I realize the difficulties of the human personality and the deep personal rebellion that's in all of us to the things of God. It's by trial and error that we learn to do this. So it's a voluntary thing. Secondly, it is contrary to our personal will. I found out one thing about myself. Self don't want to die. Self wants to live. Number three, to bear your cross, you have to override self's sense of self-preservation. Self wants to just keep living. Okay? If self likes to overeat, self just wants to keep on overeating. If self likes to drink beer, self just wants to keep on drinking beer. I'll get you pretty soon. If self likes to have illicit sex, self just wants to keep on doing that. It doesn't want to die. It wants to live. If self wants to be a nasty, venomous, caustic personality that don't want to die, it wants to live. And the cross, the job of the cross is to crucify it to the extent that it's no more. The fourth point, if you're going to take up the cross, you are going to have to overcome the temptation to lay it back down. It's not that you take up the cross one day and that's it, you're done for the rest of your life. No. It means every morning when you get up, you got to take up that cross. It means every moment of your day when you're provoked to be angry, when you're provoked to be impatient, when you're provoked to do whatever it is that you shouldn't be doing, it's at that point that you once again have to take up that cross and crucify self. So let me begin with the voluntary sacrifice. And we'll look at the passage that we're already in. As Paul says, verse 20 again, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Catch this, who loved me and he gave himself. He gave himself. He laid down his will and he made it the Father's will, his own will, and he gave voluntarily himself. That's the only way that God will put the cross on your back. That's the only way is that you have to give yourself to it. Jesus, during his public ministry, as he got closer to the cross, he said, listen, I want everyone to understand, no man takes my life from me. And no man will take your life from you in regard to what I'm preaching here. He said, no man takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down. And I have the power to take it up again. This commandment received I of my Father. Now you and I, just like this, we alone have the power to spiritually lay our lives down. We don't have the power to take it up. Jesus has that power. But only you and I have the power to lay our lives down, but it must be voluntary. Now, if you say, well, I'm not interested in that. 20 years from now, you will be the same nasty personality that you are right now. Have you ever met somebody been in church for 25, 30 years? And they still mean as a rattlesnake? This is how it happens. What has happened is they're saying, no, I don't want any of that cross. And they may have accepted cultural Christianity, meaning being embedded within the culture of Christianity, but they have not embraced real Bible Christianity. Because Paul, who again is a great example of Christianity, he said, I am right now crucified with Christ. He had to work through all of these nuances. He had to work through all of these difficulties. If you'll notice, Paul, if you're familiar with this story, one time it was John Mark. He almost got in a fist fight with John Mark. Said, I don't want him going with us. He cannot go with us. And he was angry with him and ultimately would not let him go on the effort, the missionary effort. But later on in one of the latter letters, as he matured, as he worked through this same process, he said, be sure to bring Mark because he's probable for the cause. There is a maturing that has to occur in that what you are today is not what you should be next year. What you are right now, 5 years from that, you should hate the person you were 5 years ago. When I look back, it's been 30 years. The guy I was when I came into Christianity, he's an embarrassment to me. I think of some of the missteps I've made through my Christian walk of trying to mature in Christ, and I look back, and it's just an embarrassment. And if you don't bear the cross, you will ever be in what ultimately would have been an embarrassment to you. Jesus said, no man takes my life from me. See, the problem is many of us really don't want Jesus. We don't want to lay down our life for Jesus. We just want to add Jesus to our life. And he won't do that. And here's why. I hope this doesn't sting too much. It's because everything that we are is corrupt. I mean, from the head to the toe, it's an open wound. And he is the only balm in Gilead that can bring healing to what we are. I remember as a young Christian, I had just gotten saved, and I had a very radical born-again experience. It was radical. And I remember in those first weeks, I was walking across the field, going to a friend's house, a new Christian in Christ, and I remember it was like a vision. I wouldn't call it a vision. It was a revelation. That God, as I'm walking across the field, just in a moment, he let me look through the peephole and see myself as I really was. And in one flash, in a split second, that peephole, he opened it up and then he closed it back down. And I saw what I was. And saints, I'm not making this up. For weeks, I woke up at night crying because of what I saw. And we will stay that if we don't embrace the cross. Point number two is just as it was contrary to Jesus' personal will to go to the cross, it will be contrary to your personal will to take up the cross. If you will remember in the garden, when Jesus was praying in Gethsemane, Kenneth Wiest opened this up beautifully. It says that Jesus went a little further. He told the disciples here to wait here. He went a little further and he fell down. And Kenneth Wiest brings from the original language that he fell down and he kept on falling. It means that he would get up wrestling with this contrary will, wrestling and fall back down and get up and fall back down. He was anguishing in prayer, trying to overcome his personal will. Until finally he prayed and they gave the Holy Spirit gave us the details of the prayer. He was saying, "Father, if there's be any other way, let this cup pass from me." Now that's telling you something. The will of the Father was drink the cup. The will of Jesus, the incarnate Son, was I don't want to. The will of God is crucify yourself. And the will of human flesh is I don't want to. But finally, Jesus, because of his depth of prayer, he said, "Nevertheless, thy will be done." Meaning that he subjugated his own personal will for the will of the Father. And this is what taking up the cross is. It means that you pull down your own personal will, right, wrong, or indifference. And you walk in what God's will is for you as through his word or as he has personally revealed it to you. I used to have, my wife bought me a beautiful Whitnire watch many years ago. Very expensive. I think it was right around $5,000. And I was in a camp meeting. I was bound. The jewelry had me bound. I'm going to be honest. I was in a camp meeting under a tent. And God, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "Put that watch in the offering." And I said, "God, if there be any other way." Because I need to talk to my wife. She bought this. But the Spirit of God, when that basket came around, I dropped that $5,000 watch into that basket. There are times we must pull ourselves down. He must increase. I must decrease. There are times we have to override our own will. That's the only way that the will of God can be done in our lives. We like things cush. And see, it doesn't have to be in big things if that you call that a big thing. It's in the little things in life. We had technology problems yesterday, late evening. I worked at the church late, and I went home and went almost straight to bed. And I said, "Man, I got to get up early to get to the church before prayer so I have time to figure out this technology and not miss out on my prayer." And so I usually get up about 4:15, and I just happened to wake up. My alarm didn't even go off. I suppose it was about, I don't know, 3:15, 3:30. And I was walking one way towards the kitchen when I realized, and my body did a U-turn and went straight back to the vanity. I didn't want to. I had another hour of sleep. It's quiet in here. You know how that last hour of sleep is. It's the one. And I said, let me get dressed. And I headed to the church to fix the technology so that I had time to pray so that I could preach today. But it's in the little bitty things in life that we begin to crucify ourselves. You know when you want to say it, but you know it's not God's will for you to say it? That's the area right there. That's when you drive a stake right through your lips. That's when you begin to crucify yourself right there. You know when you want to make a facial expression at the absolute stupidity of something somebody else did? That's it right there. That's when you crucify yourself right there. This is good preaching, isn't it? You know when your spouse sets you off and she didn't mean to do anything at all. They just set you off. And you know it wasn't really them. It was you. That's when it happens right there. The ability to crucify yourself, say, "God, I want your will to be done. I do not want to express Lincoln. I want to express Christ. I want to," as Paul to say, "it's no more I, but now it's Christ that liveth in me. That now this life that I'm living in this mortal body, I live it by the evidence faith of Jesus Christ that is him." Saints, this is the only way you can follow Jesus. There is no other way. You can come to church for the rest of your life. Doesn't matter. Moses didn't have a church. All of the old patriarchs. Elijah, look at Elijah. Look at John the Baptist. He didn't even go to the synagogue. But that man walked with God. You can come to church forever. And it's wonderful you do. I want you to be here. We got all these empty chairs. Please come. But that's not what matures you in Christianity. What matures you is taking up the cross, denying yourself, taking up the cross, and then following after Jesus Christ. Let me go on. I'm running out of time. The third point is the effort of self-preservation. As I said earlier, self does not want to die. Have you noticed? I had a thing several years ago about Bluebell ice cream. And it became an addiction for me personally. To the extent I would get a big bowl, almost like a half a quart. And I would get a big bowl of ice. First, I would run a tub of water because it was that time of night. Then I'd get a big bowl of ice cream because if you're sitting in hot water, you don't get brain freeze. That's a hack. And finally, I realized, because I was starting to become a fat, skinny guy, I said, I got to do something. I got to let this go. And I was able to break out of that. But flesh don't want to die. They have a new ice cream now called Halo. It's like, I think, a pint of it is like 150 calories. And I've noticed myself moving more and more towards the Halo ice cream. And I realize this is my point of crucifixion. See, here's how we kill ourselves as a species. As we get older, we love luxury more. As we get older, we love comfort more. As we get older, we love our sleep more. And it's our comfort, our sleep, and our lack of mobility that kills us. And if you don't deny yourself, you will kill yourself. It may not be alcohol, it may not be drugs, but it's the nature of flesh. It's suicidal. And if you don't kill it, ultimately, it will kill you. See, sometimes we walk around with this bitterness and this meanness and this angst in our heart. You weren't made to carry that. You weren't made to carry anger or wrath or jealousy or envy or any of those things. You were made to carry peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And when we put the wrong stuff in us, it has a detrimental impact on our life, and you'll die early. You know, the Bible said, laugh to do with thee good like a medicine. Yes, it does. It's good to laugh. It's good to evidence joy. Some of us are so sour. We don't even smile at folks. Somebody say hello? What? What? It's like, relax, man. Enjoy your life. Again, going back to the very first passage I quoted, Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Self cannot be preserved. Self cannot be upheld. Self ultimately has to die. That's the only way you'll ever be Christ-like, is self has to be totally, absolutely negated. And it can be a counterintuitive and painful process when you realize you are what God does not like. Let me say that again. It can be a painful process when you realize what I am is what God does not like. And the only way that I can be what God likes is to stop being what I've been and to be more Christ-like. And the difference between those two is the cross. When Jesus hung on the cross, and again, I'm talking about self-preservation. When he hung on the cross, a crown of thorns on his head, his back laid wide open by the lictor's lash, his wrists and his ankles pierced with nails to nail him to the cross. He's hanging there in anguish. And he happens to look, and there's soldiers at the foot of the cross which have the seamless garment that he wore for years. It was woven without seam. It was no doubt something that average people didn't have. It would have been a cherished possession of his. And as he hung there, he watched them cast lots on his garment to see whose it's going to be. Have you ever had somebody take something from you? It can cause the most violent reaction to have someone just take what is legally and literally yours. Yet he hung there and he said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." The desire to preserve self is what slows us down in our Christian progress, because we love ourselves. We love ourselves. We've been taught and we've learned to, this is what the world teaches you. You can be the most caustic person and they say, "Oh no, you're beautiful. You're beautiful just the way you are. God loves you." No, that's not the truth. You will never be happy as long as you are who you are. You ain't been happy up to now, have you? Every time that there's a big issue that blows up, and when you drill it back down, it's like, it's either you started it and you did it, or you didn't solve it correctly. But yet he hung there and he watched his garment be gambled for at his feet. He told one of the disciples, I can presently pray. And God will send 12 legions of angels down here. We're straightening this thing out right now. Having that power, he hung there in self-abasement and watched what was his be taken away from him. Saints, this is the cross. When people say you bear your cross, that's what he's talking about. It's a very personal degrading of your sense of self. But while self is being decreased, there's an awakening of Christ-like. The eyes of your understanding begin to open. You begin to see afar off. And you can see what the carnal man can never comprehend. Eyes have not seen and ears have not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man. But God hath revealed it by his Spirit. The fourth point is, if you battle through the first 3 points that I've made, you battle through them, and now, yes, you are successfully bearing your cross. And it's a rigor and it's difficult, and you don't want to do it any day that you have to do it, but yet every day you take up your cross and you're walking in this. The fourth point is, there will always be a temptation to stop. Because the devil knows, the powers of darkness knows, that if you ever begin to walk in Christ's likeness, you are a danger to the kingdom of darkness. And so there'll always be, it may be someone as in Job's situation, his wife came to him and said, "Just curse God and die." It could be a coworker. It could be a family member. It could be an unknown person. And sometimes it can be Satan himself or one of his surrogates that comes and tells you exactly what they told Jesus. You don't have to go through with this. You're fine the way you are. Matthew chapter 27 verse 40 says, Jesus is hanging on the cross. He's watching them gamble on his vesture to take it away from him. And then he has his mortal enemies, the Pharisees, and the religious leadership, they're walking around the cross and they're making fun of him. Verse 40 says, that here's their words, "Thou that destroyest this temple and buildest this in 3 days, save self." That's what Satan said to Jesus on the cross. Save self. And that's what he'll say to you and I. If we begin to successfully bear a cross, I got a lot of things to be angry about. Everything since we had that storm has been upside down. And I've got a lot of stuff going on that's upside down right now. We all do, that's right. But how many of us, you can't tell it on our face, you can't tell it by our words, you can't tell it by our actions. We just walk through that storm with the confidence and the calm of God, making the very best decisions you can make in the moment and every decision you have to make, and still be able to laugh and still be able to be joyous. Save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Can you hear that? If thou be the Son, this is Satan. That's the exact same words that Satan used in the temptation in the wilderness. If thou be the Son of God, make these stones into bread. If thou be the Son of God, and he says it again right here, if thou be the Son of God, come down. You don't have to bear this cross anymore. You've done enough. Come down right now. But here's the point. You don't lay down that cross until you are dead. Totally dead. No more. Until it's all Christ now living his life through your life. And I dare say none of us are there. I'm not there. You're not there. It might seem like you're there. That's only because nobody has slapped you across the face. Huh? It might seem like you're there. It's just because nobody's cut you off in traffic. Nobody's ran into your brand new car. Nobody's done anything contrary to what your sense of right and wrong. That's why it seems like, well, I must be this close. I'm sorry. It's going to be a minute. Come down from the cross. Likewise, also the chief priests, while mocking him, and the scribes and the elders said, you saved others. Can you not save yourself? If you are the king of Israel, which he is the king of Israel. He said, if thou be the king of Israel, let him come down from the cross and we'll believe him. That's the temptation that you will live with. Once you successfully start walking with your cross, that's the temptation daily that you will endure as you bear that cross. That sounds like a dreadful message, I know. But the bright part is, Jesus Christ will awaken in you like in nothing you could have ever known. Today I see further off than I've ever seen before. It's been there the whole time. I just couldn't see it. I simply just couldn't see it. I'm still writing commentaries. I look at a scripture and I can see all the way down into it. It's not just across the pages, but I can see down into it. This is a result of crucifying self so that Christ can come alive, so that he can truly be who he is in your mortal body. Amen. One last scripture as I close. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. Paul says, simply making the statement, they that are Christ's. How many are Christ's? Do you belong to Christ? They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with all of the affections and lusts. It don't happen in a day, saints, but it starts in one day. You don't accomplish it in a few months, but it's an everyday thing that suddenly you turn around and you realize that you are stronger than you have ever been. Amen. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up the cross, and follow him. Would you bow your heads, please, all around the room? Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you so much, God, for the illumination of your scripture that we can see what the natural eye does not see. Today that we hear what the natural ear cannot hear. Father, let this message be pressed down into our hearts in those instances in each of our lives Well, we have the decision to walk in self or to walk in Christ. Lord, that the conviction of the Holy Ghost would meet us in that place, that you would lead us, that you would guide us, that you would move us towards true biblical Christianity. And Lord, even if we fail, Lord, that you will meet us at that point of conflict again, and you will teach us how to overcome our weakness. Come on, all over the room this morning. Would you stand to your feet if you're able? I don't know where you're at. You have your own issues as I have my own issues. But right now, just lift your hands to heaven. And that issue, that place, that the place of conflict that's in your life, just present that to God. Say, Lord, right here is where I need deliverance. Right here, God, is where I want you to apply maturity. Father, I ask you for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit upon my life. Come on, just reach out to him. Let him hear your voice this morning. Let him hear your voice.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you because you're gracious, because you're kind, because you chastise those that you love, Father. And Father, we know that you love us because you have sent us your word this morning, Lord. So Heavenly Father, just help us present ourselves to you, Lord, because only you can deal with self. Father, we love you, we honor you, and we thank you. Thank you, Father, because this is truth, Father. And the truth is this, Lord, that only when we come to you, Father, humbly, Lord, can we deal with self. Amen. Once again, thank you guys for coming out to our Sunday service. A couple quick announcements. If you haven't given, as you guys know, there are several ways to do so. So if you're online, please go ahead and scroll down to the bottom, and there's a donate link. Also, this Wednesday, we won't be having Bible study, but we will be having the laity service. So if you're free, please do come out and support our speakers. That is this Wednesday at 7. With that being said, you are dismissed. Thank you guys for being out here today.